what a prayer. Rain down, Holy Spirit. Rain down. Amen. The scripture reading to begin the service was a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. And then we sang, the choir sang, rain down. Amen. I tell you what, when it rains, things get wet. Amen. Oh, there's an effect. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I got this feeling I never want one service to be wasted. Every service should be a time of encountering God. So good to see everybody in God's house this Sunday morning worshiping together. Good to have Sister Crystal here from the Osho. Amen. Good to have all God's people gathered together. Amen. If you go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. Knowing Jesus through his name. Anybody here want to know more about Jesus? Amen. Okay, for the rest of you, come tonight and I'll tell you more about Satan. We used to sing a song, I Want to Know More About My Lord. Hallelujah. I know that's why you're here. You want to know more about your Lord. Knowing Jesus through his name. Would you stand for the reading of the word? Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Verse 21, and Joseph arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He, the Messiah, shall be called a Nazarene. He shall be called a Nazarene. I want to preach this morning on the Nazarene. The Nazarene. Knowing Jesus through his name. Amen. I made a statement earlier. I don't want to see any service wasted. Let's pray together that this will be a holy moment in the sharing of his word and that people's lives will be changed and helped. Why don't you just stretch forth the hand this way? Let's pray together. Father, we want to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, we want you to have free and course in this service to talk to us, to speak to us, to move upon us. Oh, God, Lord, gather your people together in our minds and souls to hear from heaven. Lord, let us feel the overshadowing of your Spirit. Lord, anoint me to speak, God, these words. May Jesus be central in our affection and central in our attention. May Jesus be glorified. Lord, those here that need help, may they see Jesus as the help this morning, as the strength, as the ability. Oh, in the name of Jesus, let's just praise him for a moment. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We honor you, our King, our Lord, our Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. The Nazarene. When I was in the 10th or 11th grade, I became like Charlie Brown. I was smitten by a red-haired girl in my advanced composition class. I thought she liked me, but really I found out she just wanted help with her homework. But I'll never forget, I didn't realize she was in track, and I'd got home from school one day. I hadn't been home long, and I walked out the front door of our house, and we lived a quarter of a block from Main Street on another main street there, on a main highway there, and the track, they were assigned to run this big circuit of several miles, and it so happened that the circuit they ran went right by the front of my house, and I happened to walk out of my house the very moment that they came running by, and this redheaded girl was in the middle of it, and she pulled up, and she stopped, and I'll never forget, she looked at me, and she looked at our house, and she looked at me, and looked around at our neighborhood, and she said, she asked a question, she said, Clifford, you mean you live there? Now, I want you to know something. There was nothing wrong with our house. It was neat and cleaned and well-maintained, just a little clapboard house. But as far as she was concerned, I came from the wrong end of town. See, I didn't live in the part of town where the popular kids lived, and I didn't live in the part of the town where the rich folks lived, and I didn't live in the part of town where anybody who was somebody in our town lived. As far as she was concerned, I came from the wrong part, the wrong end of town. Did you know that a lot of folks get to feeling like that? They've come from the wrong end of town, the wrong end of life. I'm glad to declare this morning, however, with God, it matters not where you come from. With God, it's simply a matter of whom do you come to. I don't care where you've come from. You can come to God. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Nazarene. You see, what does Nazarene say to us? There are some that say it means Nazarite. This is a mistake we must not make. We are familiar in Scripture with this word Nazarite. In the law, a Nazarite was somebody who was totally committed, made a vow to God. They were committed and separated to service to the Lord. And there were other things, but mainly there were three things to identify a Nazarite. They were never to cut their hair. They were never to touch the fruit of the vine, and they were never to touch anything or anybody that was dead. If you want to know who some Nazarites were, Samson, and very probably Samuel, and also very probably John the Baptist were Nazarites, special vows separated to God. And because the words are similar, many people have read this that Jesus shall be called the Nazarite, but that's not Nazarite. It's a different word. This isn't what Jesus was. And by the way, Jesus, he turned the water into wine and he touched the dead. Of course, that fellow didn't stay dead once he touched him. But he touched the dead. And so Jesus was not a Nazarite. So what does it mean? Others have supposed that the word Nazarene really is Netzarene, which is a particular word for branch. Stay right with this, because look what the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. This Hebrew word branch is very similar to the Greek word for Nazarene. And so many say that Jesus was called the Nazarene because he was the fulfillment of this prophecy of the branch. Though we wouldn't have to, let's look briefly at this prophecy. Amen. David, the king, had his descendants that were kings, one after the other, and it was a dynasty. But there came a time when Judah went into captivity, and David's line of descendant kings, his dynasty, was cut off. In other words, the tree was lopped off. There was nothing there but a stump. But the prophet Isaiah said, keep looking at the stump. Because even though it looks like the tree is completely cut down, one of these days, a branch is going to begin to grow out of that tree stump. And that branch is going to be a descendant of David who will be the Messiah and who will be the king. I could have went on over this and not paid attention to it. But I wanted to tell somebody this morning, you may have feel like your hopes, your dreams, your life, even your experience with God has been lopped off and cut off, and there's no hope and there's no life. I'm telling you, keep trusting in the Lord, and it won't be long till a branch will begin to grow out of the stump of what looks like ruin. Amen. And so many have said that Nazarene, it means this branch. Amen. However that may be, and it may be, because the interesting thing is, in Bible times, they loved the play on words. The Nazareth that comes from Nazarene, the branch that comes from Nazareth. But none of the reasons are really that mystical or that involved. Really, it simply means that Jesus came from the town of Nazareth. He's called the Nazarene because he had been an inhabitant of Nazareth. It is used as an identifier. Amen. You see, we don't don't think of this, but in Jesus' time, there were lots of little boys named Jesus. It was a popular name because it was actually the name of Joshua, Yeshua. Amen. The Bible, Old Testament Bible character Joshua. So a lot of people, they named their kids Joshua, even in Jesus' time. It's been that way for years, and I'm supposed it still is in Spanish-speaking countries in Latin America. Amen. Lots of little kids are named Jesus or Jesus. And so you need an identifier. This was Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. Now you got to understand something. To be identified as being from Nazareth wasn't really a nice thing. It might have been a necessary thing, but it was not a nice thing. Amen. We're going to learn that to be called somebody from Nazareth was to be called somebody who came from the wrong end of the country. Amen. So now we've established what it says is simply Jesus came from Nazareth. Now let's look what Nazarene means. I've already begun to tell you, but I want to be emphatic about it. To be called a Nazarene was not a compliment. It was not a nice thing. To be called a Nazarene was to, that word was used to ridicule, to disparage, to demean, to cut down, to scorn, to make fun of. Why? It's this simple. The town of Nazareth was a nothing town. Nazareth was nothing. You say, wait a minute. It says the prophet said he would be called a Nazarene. And yet there's a problem. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll never find a prophecy that says he'll be called a Nazarene. What you do find is prophecies that says he will be despised, he will be rejected, he will be scorned, he will be looked down upon more than any man. And so what they're really saying here is because the prophet said he shall be despised, and in New Testament times, to be called a Nazarene, somebody from Nazareth, was a term, a derogatory term, a term to show you despise somebody, you scorn somebody. It's saying that when they called him a Nazarene, according to the word of the prophets, they were calling him somebody that was despised and rejected and scorned and looked down upon. Hallelujah. We ought to be getting excited already, because he was scorned that we might not have to be. He was rejected that we don't have to be. He was mocked so he came from the wrong end of the town so we could go to the right end. Hallelujah. He was scorned. It was a term of shame and humiliation. Why? Because Nazareth, a nothing town. It was small. It was insignificant. It was poverty stricken. At Jesus' time, the town of Nazareth was only about 500 people. I told you already, but you can search through the Old Testament, and not once is Nazareth mentioned in the Old Testament. It was just an ordinary, undesirable place to live. There's some other things against it. It was not a pure Jewish town. Many Gentiles lived there. It was also a town that was known for sin and for wickedness. And besides all of that, get this, it was a town in Galilee. Galilee. Read your scripture, your New Testament carefully. They made fun of Galileans. Have you read it in the gospel? Galileans were considered in the nation of Israel, and I don't mean this derogatory, just the way people think, Galileans were known as hillbillies, country bumpkins, uncouth, uncultured. In fact, they made fun of their accent, the way they talk. Even when Peter denied the Lord, that little damsel said, I know you had to bend with that Galilean because you talk like a Galilean. You got that country bumpkin accent. Amen. They looked down on Nazareth of Galilee. And so to put it in the terms of the cities of those times, Jesus was called a Nazarene derogatorily because he was not Jesus of Jerusalem. He was not Jesus of Athens. He was not Jesus of Rome. He was not Jesus of Memphis. He was not Jesus of Alexandria. He was Jesus of Nazareth. Let's put it in today's terms. He was not Jesus of Paris. He was not Jesus of London. He was not Jesus of New York. He was not Jesus of Beijing. He was not Jesus of Hong Kong. He was not Jesus of Miami. He was not Jesus of Los Angeles. He was Jesus of Trotwood. I'm not being derogatory. I'm just saying in comparison. I live there. Not Jesus of London, Jesus of Trotwood. And we can act kind of funny about that, but we know even around here, there's certain towns we say, no, that's a great part of town. They looked at Jesus like that. He came from the wrong part of the country. Not only that, he wasn't Jesus from the nobleman's house. He wasn't Jesus from the king's house. He wasn't Jesus. He was Jesus from the carpenter's house. That Nazarene. Amen. Let me give you one example of how people looked at those from Nazareth. Anybody remember a man named Nathanael? Philip just met Jesus, and he's so excited. He runs to find his friend Nathanael, and he runs upon Nathanael. Nathanael's sitting under a tree, fig tree. He's reading, and here comes Philip. We found him. We found him. We found him. We found. We have found the Messiah. We have found the one of whom the prophet spoke of. And Nathanael said, well, who is he? And Philip said, he's Jesus of Nazareth. And what did Nathanael say? Oh. Does anyone remember what he said? Oh. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Amen. I fellow resident. Can anything good come out of Trotwood, Sister Ann? That's what he said. How would you feel if you lived in Nazareth? What did Philip say? Anyone know what he said? He said, come and see. All right, I don't see how anything good can come out of Nazareth. But let's come and see. So they went, and Jesus saw them coming from a distance. And when they walked up on Jesus, Jesus said, there's a man, pointing at Nathanael, in whom there is no guile. Right there, that Israelite has no guile. And Nathanael pulled up, and he said, how do you know who I am? And Jesus said, before that Philip called thee, while thou wast sitting under that fig tree, I saw thee. Oh, hallelujah. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Listen, I want to tell you something. Nathanael already had some prejudice because of where Jesus came from. He was already inclined to reject Jesus because of Jesus' background. But notice what the first thing Jesus told Nathanael. Amen. He said, you may be having trouble with my background, but I want you to know something. I know your background too. I even know where you were sitting this morning. I know exactly where. Amen. This thing about Jesus' background, never forget something. He knows our background too. Oh, you're going to reject me, Jesus said, because you know my background? You may reject me because you know my background. But look what Jesus said. I won't reject you even though I know your background. Oh, hallelujah. Nathanael said, you've got to be the Messiah. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, because I told you where you came from, you believe. You're going to see greater things than these. Oh, aren't you glad? Even though we know where he comes from, he knows where we come from. Amen. Jesus, unashamedly, though he knew it was derogatory, he unashamedly identified himself as Nazareth. Amen. We're coming up on Good Friday. Amen. But here's the thing. When they came to the garden where Jesus wept and prayed to arrest Christ, to take him to a cross of crucifixion, they came upon him with their swords and their weapons and the officers. Judas the betrayer led them. And Jesus, knowing all things that should come to pass, he went forth and met them and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. We seek the Nazarene. Notice Jesus did not deny it. He didn't hide from it. He said, do you seek Jesus of Nazareth? He said, I am he. And when he said it, they went backward and fell to the ground. They met it derogatory. Where's the Nazarene? He said, here's the Nazarene. And the power of Christ was so strong, they went backward and fell to the ground. They met it derogatory. But he identified himself with it. He showed himself to Paul the apostle. And no, I won't go into Paul's testimony. In Paul's own words, he said, I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Hallelujah. I hadn't even thought of this till this moment. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you because it just came powerfully to me. I hadn't even thought about it this morning, to this right moment. First of all, let me say what others meant as a derogatory, Jesus accepted it as identifying who he was. And he even told Paul, I'm the Nazarene. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever heard this thing that people who are possessed with demons cannot say the word Jesus. You may have heard that's not true. I remember I was still in Bible school. I was young. Don't know much now, but knew less then. And a bunch of us young men were praying with someone that was possessed. And I'll just give you just a few details here so you can get the picture. And this fella was totally possessed and manifesting. And they were praying over him in the name of Jesus. Jesus this. And he did a very unholy thing. That demon rose up and he coupled the name of Jesus with Beelzebub. And he said, Jesus Beelzebub. And this was not me. It was the Holy Spirit came upon me. No premeditation. I pointed at him and said, no, it's not Jesus Beelzebub. It is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. And he went back and went limp because I identified the Jesus we was talking about. And the term that was derogatory, he accepted as who he is. Hallelujah. To his enemies, it was all about where he came from. But if they had really realized where he came from. You know, even on the earth side, they had it wrong. You're usually identified by where you're born. They had that wrong. They said Jesus of Nazareth. He was Jesus of Bethlehem by where he was born. But they still had it wrong. If they only knew. They say, you came from Nazareth. No, he came all the way from heaven. He came from the Father's glory. He came from eternity. John 13, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. John 3:31, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all in his prayer. John 17, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world. They're saying, pointing at him, derogatory, you came from Nazareth. If they only realized where he had come from, he had come all the way from glory. They called him Jesus in derision. We call him Jesus with love and admiration. We used to sing when I was a kid, I love him for he is mine. I love him for he is divine. I love him forever it seems. This Jesus, the Nazarene. Oh, hallelujah. Do you love him this morning? Hallelujah. I've got to move on to a close in a moment, but I want to make very clear that Jesus as the Nazarene was vindicated on the cross by Pilate. Amen. In John 19 it says they crucified him and two other with him. Amen. And when they crucified them, Pilate wrote a title and had it put upon the cross. What did he have written? Pilate had written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That upset those high priests and rulers. They came to Pilate and said, write not, amen, King of the Jews, but that he saith, I am the King of the Jews. I love it. Pilate, that old pagan Gentile governor, he said, what have I have written is written, and it never changed to this day. Even on the cross were the words, Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus of Jerusalem, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Even the pagan king identified him. He said, the Nazarene you've ridiculed, the Nazarene you mocked and scorned, the Nazarene you looked down on, he is in fact the King of the Jews. I'd only make one correction. The Nazarene is also the King of the world, the King of the universe, the King of time and eternity, the King of kings. Make fun of him, world. Try to relegate him as just a prophet, just a man. But I'm telling you, in the end, the Nazarene is the Son of God, Son of Man, King and Lord, Almighty God and Savior and Deliverer and Healer. The Nazarene. The Nazarene. The ridicule carried over to his followers. New Testament Christians were often called Nazarene. Acts chapter 24. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, Paul, and moreover, a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Christians weren't being flattered. They were being ridiculed and made fun of. To be identified with Christ was not popular. It was not desirable. It was not well thought of. But not a one of those Christians said, oh, don't call us a Nazarene. They said, if you think we're Nazarenes because we follow Jesus of Nazareth, go ahead and call us Nazarenes. It wasn't popular. Let me tell you something. If you have found your faith and your religion popular, you don't have the real thing. This world has always derided those who have followed Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have found a popular brand of Christianity, a brand that's popular to the carnal, the worldly, the undedicated, you have not found the right thing. Because from New Testament times on, those who really followed him were ridiculed as he was ridiculed. If they hated me, they will hate you. In a sense, if they have called me a Nazarene, they will call you a Nazarene. Amen. I want to end this morning by applying this all to where we're living right now. What does Nazarene mean to us? First of all, it isn't where you have come from, but whom you have come to. I said it doesn't matter where you've come from, but to whom you have come. Amen. He came from where we come from. He came from the ordinary home. He came from the common household. He came from obscurity. Amen. They not only said that Jesus came from the wrong place, but the criticism they had of Christ is that he welcomed people who came from the wrong place. In Luke 15, it said, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. In the next verse, the Pharisees and scribes murmured. They meant it as a criticism, but in my eyes, it's a compliment. They said of Jesus, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They ridiculed Christ as shameful and undesired because he came from the wrong place. Now they're ridiculing him because he attracts those who came from the wrong place. He attracts those that came from the wrong end of society. He attracts those that came from the wrong end of town. Whom did he attract? He attracted harlots and beggars and awful sinners and tax collectors. Amen. The righteous, the church people, they didn't want Jesus, amen, but these that they also did not want, Jesus wanted them. They rejected Jesus, but Jesus rejected no one. Oh, hallelujah. Can you see them there at the table? Everybody from the wrong end of the town, from the wrong street that had the wrong address. If they had an address, they come to Jesus. Instead of rejecting them, he said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. You've come from the wrong place, but you're coming to the right place. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many would have found yourself in that number that came from the wrong place? But he received you. I want you to hear this morning, whatever your background, you can come to Jesus and be accepted by him. Hallelujah. I want to make a note, amen, to some of our church folks, and in particularly our young people who have been raised in church. Even though I'm preaching, they came from the wrong backgrounds to Jesus. I want you to know you can come to him when you've had the right background too. Some folks think I got to create a bad background before I come to Jesus. I got to go get me an address out in sin. I've got to go the pigsty. I've got to get in some kind of bad trouble before I come to Jesus. Could I tell you, he received those that came from a good background. It doesn't matter if you come from rich or poor, good background, background, religious background, pagan background. That's not the point of where you come from. The point is, do you come to Jesus? Do you give him your heart? Do you give him your life? Do you commit yourself to him? Hallelujah. You can come from the right side of the tracks and come to Jesus. Secondly, I want us to take home, it isn't where you come from, but it's whom he will make you. It's not where you come from, it's whom he will make you. Where Jesus came from, Nazareth, was no indication that he would be the great Savior, that he would be the Messiah, that he would be the King and the Lord that he would be. And wherever you come from, that does not matter. It's what he will make you. You come to God wherever you come from, and you are a child of the King. I said, wherever you come from, he'll make you a child of the King. Jesus lived with the shame of the name Nazarene, but he also knew his true identity, and he could take the ridicule. They called him a Nazarene, but he knew he was the Son of God. He knew that he was from heaven. He knew he was God in the flesh. I want to tell you, serve God. You may be called a lot of names. They may tell you you go to the wrong church. You have the wrong faith. You'll never fit in. You've come from the... But I want to tell you, however they make fun of you, if you'll just know your true identity, if you've come to him, you are a child of the King. You're a servant of the Most High. You're a born again. Hallelujah. It's not where you come from, but what he makes you. Amen. Your background may be awful. You may have been betrayed by a spouse. You may have been abused, molested, or neglected by so-called family members. You may have been taken advantage of. You may have mental issues or have somebody in your family with mental illness. You may have somebody in the family, or you may be somebody with a drug problem or an alcohol problem. You or somebody in your family may have gone through bankruptcy, may not have enough money to drive anything but a junk. Live in a house that's got problems. I want you to know that's all temporal and material. You got to understand something. It's not your background where you come. It's what God can make you. You can be a child of God. You can live for him. You can be righteous and pure and holy. Oh, hallelujah. It's not where you come from. It's what he can make you. You may feel the shame of your background, of where you come from. Many have felt shame by what has happened to them, what they've experienced. I want you to know just briefly this morning, I want to tell you, never mistake shame for guilt. Guilt's when it's your fault. Shame, something different. You see, guilt is my conscience telling me I've done something wrong. But shame is that awful emotion telling me that there's something wrong with me. Let me say it again. Guilt is my conscience telling me I've messed up, I've made a mistake, I've done something wrong. But shame is something saying there's something wrong with you. You're not like other people. You're messed up. Where you've come from, you're messed up. Something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. That's shame. Amen. People come from a background. They were taken advantage of. They were the victim. And they walk around with shame in their life. Amen. Something wrong with you. You can look at Satan and say, I may have done some things wrong. I may be guilty of some things. I know how to take care of that. I know how to confess my sin. But I refuse to walk around with the shame because of something that was done to me. Amen. That is not mine to bear. Guilt says, I have made a mistake. Shame says that I am a mistake. Hallelujah. That's what your background will do. Amen. Satan will beat you up. You ought to be ashamed of where you come from. Jesus wasn't. Amen. I'm telling you, things may have been wrong, done wrong. Amen. But don't walk around. If you're a believer, if you're born again, wherever you come from, whatever you've experienced, you don't have to be ashamed. You can lift your head high and say, I'm a child of the King. Well, somebody say hallelujah. I could give you several examples. I'll give you one. Matthew came from the tax collector's table. A hated man. But he became a fervent disciple that wrote a gospel in our Bible. It wasn't where he came from. It's what Jesus made him. Last of all, it isn't where you come from, but it's where you're going. They said to Jesus, you came from Nazareth. He said, I came from God, but I know something else. I'm going back to God. It's not where you come from. Oh, it's where you're going. Amen. Down to Bible school years, there was always this rivalry, not just between North and South, but between Texas and everybody else. And those students would get up and introduce himself to a church, and one of them would say, I'm so-and-so from Texas. And somebody from Oklahoma or somewhere else would follow them and point to that testimony and say, now they didn't use this word, but they said the operative word here is from. They said they were glad they were from Texas. Anybody ought to be glad if they're from Texas. Not living there anymore. Moved out from there. It's not where. Now, I've offended people from Trotwood and people from Texas. I'm on the T's today. What's another T here that we. It's not where you're from. It's where you're headed. You might have come out of the worst of sin and impurity, but you're headed to the holy city. You might have come out of the worst of homes, but you're headed to the Father's house. You might have come out of the darkest of places, but you're headed to the city where the Lamb is the light. You might have come from a hell situation. That's only, and I don't mean that lightly. That's the only way to describe it. You've lived in hell. You might have come from hell, but you're headed towards heaven. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Abraham Lincoln, he was born in a log cabin. He raised in a log cabin. But there came a day he was on the train headed for the White House. Glory to God. I don't know where you've come from, but I want you to know in the words of the old song, you're on a train to glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I know it's a song, but I think it's good. Satan will always try to remind you of your past. When he does, remind him of your future. Satan will try to remind you where you've come from. Oh, but remind him where you're going. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Maybe I shouldn't reveal this. Maybe I shouldn't reveal this to you. And I don't believe in talking on the platform unless it's something very important that needs to be taken care of. But every once in a while we'll have a guest speaker, an evangelist, and when there's some kind of break in the service, or maybe after service, I say, see that lady over there? See how she's worshiping God? Yeah. She was a heroin addict. See that man over there with his hands up in the air crying? He was a drunkard. See that young person back there really worshiping God? They lived a life of impurity. It's so exciting to point those things out. See that woman there? She's really getting into the service. She comes from her home where her husband fights her every time she comes to church. What am I saying? I'm saying it doesn't matter where they've come from. Look where God has brought them. Paul went through that long list, adulterers and fornicators and deceivers and extortioners, all the kind of folks that weren't going to make it to heaven. And then he said to the Corinthians, and such were some of you, but you've been washed. Oh, that's what brought us out. I said, that's what brought us out. It was the blood. It was the washing. It was the cleansing. It was the purifying. Glory. We've come out. Not because we got strong discipline. We've come out because he brought us out. He delivered us. He set us free. Hallelujah. He severed us from our past. Glory to God. So they called him the Nazarene. And if they want to, let them call us Nazarenes. Because we know what we've come from, but we know where we're going. We know what we've come from, but we know what he's made us. We know what we've come from, but we know whom we've come to. Would you stand and worship the Nazarene? Hallelujah. Would you worship him all over the building? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the Nazarene. Hallelujah. 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 You may be here in the wrong place. You can come from it this morning. You can come out of sin. You can come out of shame. You can come out of all that bondage. You can come to him. He can make you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise him one more time, church. Hallelujah. I love him forever, it seems. This Jesus, the Nazarene. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, move. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, it may not be people that do it. It may be your enemy, Satan. But all you can feel, whether we're talking about residence or sin or mental or geographical, all you can hear is a voice saying, you come from the wrong place. You live in the wrong place. You're on the wrong side of town. You're on the wrong side of this life thing. You're on the wrong side. Oh, if you're tired of hearing that voice, I want to encourage you, come to Jesus this morning. Just come to him. Hallelujah. Oh, the Nazarene. Oh, the Nazarene. Hallelujah. I never dawdle at altar calls. I'm not sure what I'm waiting for, but I would just love for the Holy Spirit to take this word and make it real to somebody right now. Hallelujah. Could I say it just one more time? It's not where you come from. It's whom you come to. It's not where you come from. It's what he can make you. It's not what you come from. It's where you're headed. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the Nazarene this morning? Hallelujah. How many would like to come and worship the Nazarene? Hallelujah. If you need special help from the Lord, would you come? Would you come with the churches that come to pray? Hallelujah. You need Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe somebody here, you want to come out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Come to him. Come to him.
It doesn't matter where you've been.
Come to Jesus.
There's a place to start all over.
Come to Jesus.
You can live again.
Come to Jesus.
And the guilt and shame you've carried can be left upon the shore. As you step out into the grace, never know before.
come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
Down to the river.
Come to Jesus.
Flowing deep and wide.
Come to Jesus.
You will find the most amazing place when you step inside the water.
Oh, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. To him.
Never known before.
Hallelujah.
Come on down to the river of grace.
Come to him.
Flowing deep and wide. You
Jesus.
Will find the most amazing place when you step inside the water of the river of grace.
The Nazarene is here. Hallelujah. The Nazarene is here. Hallelujah. Loving the Nazarene this morning. Love him. Hallelujah.
He prayed, not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own.